call is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 18th of November, we have Jeff Newman, Alex Kokuru, Tatiana Kramtsova, James Bladel, Wolf Knobben. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Glenda Saint-Géry, myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and we have apologies from Tony Harris and from David Maher. If I could just please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jeff.
Great. Thank you, Gisela. This is Jeff Newman, and this is our regularly scheduled PDP work team call. And I believe this is the final call before the Cartagena meeting, if I'm correct. So what I want to do is talk about the agenda for Cartagena, and then to go into more of the substantive work that that we have in front of us. So with that said, the thought for Cartagena, if you haven't seen the schedule, but I'm assuming most of you have, that we have on, I believe it's in, Marika, it's Monday, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so Monday morning in Cartagena from 7:30 to 9, we have a room reserved for a scheduled PDP work team meeting, which will be devoted to going through what we have drafted in the report that was sent out a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, time is flying here, by Marika to the group, and going through some outstanding issues. The meeting is scheduled to be a breakfast meeting where some food will be provided, but please show up at a little before 7:30 the start time so you can grab your food, because I do definitely want to start at 7:30. This is not a circumstance where I want people to come in, eat for a half hour, and then start at 8. Our time is limited, and it'll be some good time that we have face-to-face to get a bunch of work done. So please show up on time in Cartagena. Actually, show up a few minutes early so you can grab some food, and then we can start right at the scheduled starting time. Also in Cartagena, the plan is for us to prepare some slides, us being Marika and I will send around some proposed slides to present to your individual stakeholder groups or constituencies or advisory committees during your individual meetings. And the slides will focus on not only the outstanding issues that we've been talking about or still need some comment on, but I would like the slides to also talk about some things that, even if our work team has agreed, hey, by the way, these are some things that we've changed, or these are things that will change for you if this is adopted by the steering committee and ultimately by the council. So I think that that's kind of a focus point. We've seen with a work team within the operational steering committee, the GCOT group, we've seen some controversy where even though the work team agreed at a point in time on some recommendations, I don't think many stakeholder groups, constituencies, and the council as a whole were really cognizant of the ramifications of some of the changes. And so we're still kind of dealing with we're still dealing with all of that now. And even on today's call, which I was the council call, which I was not able to listen to real time, I understand that there were some there may have been a motion that was actually voted down, and I think now that creates some even more kind of ambiguities as to where that those recommendations are. So with that said, Marika, do you have anything to add, or does anyone have any questions on that?
Hi, Jeff. It's Wolf speaking. It just came in. So I understood, because it's not on my schedule, on Monday morning, 7:30, there will be the meeting in Cartagena. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's on the general ICANN calendar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it should be that there's a room that's – so it's on the calendar. Everything is there. So hopefully you'll be – everyone will be able to make it. If you I suppose what we haven't done is to send out – and maybe, Marika or Gisela, you could do this – is to just send out a reminder note about the meeting and just to ask if they can respond, if they won't be there, so we can just kind of get a sense as to who will and will not be there.
Yes, because, let me add, in the draft agenda of the GNSO, which we talked about at the council meeting, it's not yet in. So in my draft, which I have in present here. So maybe that has also to be updated by Glenn or whom else. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Actually, that's a good point. Maybe we can add that to the GNSO agenda as well.
I'll look at that if it's Glenn.
Okay. Hi, Glenn. Thanks.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I think the meetings that are covered there are more the council meeting or what councillors are expected. I don't think it covers yet all the GNSO working group meetings, but you know, I think Glenn will check whether those are going to be added.
The latest one I sent out was supposed to cover that. I'll just check that right now. It could have slipped there.
Okay. Well, in either case, if we can send out a reminder to the whole team, and also it is on the ICANN agenda, so hopefully between the ICANN agenda and the email reminder that we'll get everyone who's supposed to come. And so
Yep. On the schedule that I sent out, it is definitely there, 7:30 to 9, Policy Development Process Work Team Meeting, and it's in Baharona 1, Level 1.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Okay, that's great. So is there any other questions on the logistics? And again, so this call today will be our last one until the Cartagena meeting, which is only, 2 weeks from now? Or is it 3 weeks? 2 weeks. Wow, time flies. Next week is a holiday in the United States, and I figure that it would be tough to get a bunch of people to attend. So given that there's so much work ahead of us and I figured we'd cancel the meeting next week so that people can read everything that they need to do and maybe take that extra time to read the initial report that was sent out. I'm sorry, I called it initial report. It's the, Marika, help me with the title. What do we call it? The proposed draft final.
I think we call it draft final report, but if people prefer another title, that's fine too.
Yeah, ultimately this report will go out, remember, for public comment, so it's not... it's not by any means a final report of the PDP work team because there's so much that has changed since the last report. Alex, you have a question?
Yes, it's not more of a question. It's a comment. You said you'll be reviewing what happened on the council call. Maybe as you're looking, as you're listening through, you may want to find out what Stefan Van Gelder was talking about, cross-community interaction on PDP process integrity. So that might be an area you might want to listen in and feed into the process. Just a comment.
Oh, okay, yeah, I will definitely do that. And if, I'll listen into that and maybe we can address in Cartagena if we need to. If I understand what you're saying, Alex, it probably was about the notion of, in connection with the VI working group and kind of what happened there. So I'll take a listen and see if we can glean any lessons out of that.
All right.
Okay. Marika, you have another comment?
Yeah, this is Marika, in relation to Alex's point, because actually the topic of cross-community working groups is a topic of discussion in the meetings that the GNSO will have with the GAC as well as the CGNSO. And then I think the comment that Stefan and I think Tim made a similar comment there is that, of course, at this stage, there is no cross-community policy development process. So the policy development processes for now lie with the different supporting organizations that have specific processes for that. But I guess part of the discussion might be, should there be in the future a kind of community-wide policy development process? And if so, how should that look and which topics should be covered there? But I think that's a kind of a future discussion topic, and I'm not really sure whether it has direct impact on the PDP discussion now, but who knows, maybe the GNSO PDP might be taken as a model for for those kind of discussions. So that's a bit the context in that. And I think for those that are interested in that, I would recommend that you attend those meetings with the GAC and the CCNSO, where further discussions will be had on you know, the value and role of cross-community working groups.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Marika and Alex. I will certainly listen to that and see if we can work that into our discussions as well in Cartagena. Okay. So with all that said, if you recall where we left off, Marika had sent around a draft final report. We still want comments on email to the extent that people can do that. We're certainly going to have a discuss it during our Cartagena session. But what we've done, or Marika has done, is pulled out certain areas of that draft report where we need some guidance from the work team as to which of several options we can go down. The last time, on the last call, we talked about what is a page one of this report that's up on the chart that's up on the Adobe, and that was issues around the creation of an issues report. And I think right now we left off on a comment, an open issue with respect to community input and how to incorporate public comments. We have a recommendation in the report that says that we recommend modifying the timeframes, right, because I think all of us agreed, and certainly the community agreed, that timeframes that are currently in the bylaws are way out of whack. And so what we decided was that we wanted to set a maximum time frame in the bylaws that could be modified on request of ICANN staff with the agreement of the GNSO Council or the issues report requester, if requested by an advisory committee or the ICANN board, or we could request that ICANN staff provide the GNSO Council with an estimate of time it would take for the ICANN staff to complete the issues report, taking into account the complexity of the issue and the ICANN staff workload. So our recommendation created two options, and the question is, are we ready to pick one of those options? I believe that someone had suggested a kind of a myriad or hybrid of those solutions as well we talked about. So the proposed language that if you were to take option one, basically setting the maximum time frame, would be in what's in the third column of the chart, or if you would do option two, it would be that's in the label option two in the chart. So that would be what we put in the bylaws.
Jeff, it's Alan. So I can find. Can you tell me where you are so I can?
Yes. Sorry. Thanks for. Sorry about the confusion with the change of numbers. So glad you can make it. So just for the recording, Alan Greenberg has.
I got up after 4 hours sleep several hours ago for the GNSO meeting, so I'm just a bit fuzzy.
Yeah. No. I totally understand that. So. Thank you for making it. We are on page two of the chart that's up on Adobe, and we are so there's item seven, which is the time frame for the creation of an issues report.
Okay.
Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika. You mentioned that this language would be in the bylaws, but actually the current proposal is to have that in the procedure manual.
Ah, thank you for the clarification. Yes, thank you. It's an important point that this was one of the items that we thought, or at least some of us thought, would be more appropriate for the manual as opposed to the bylaws. I don't want to take that as a given, though, so I want to just make sure that everyone on this call is comfortable that this particular language should be one that would be in the manual as opposed to the bylaws. So let's actually address that one first. Does everyone on this call... does anyone disagree with the notion that the time frames should be in the manual as opposed to the bylaws? Does anyone disagree with that? Okay, so for now, hearing no disagreement, we need to decide which of these two options would be in the manual. And I know, Alan, you had your hand raised. Was it for to discuss this, or was it another point?
No, it was to discuss this. You just changed the subject for a moment, so I put it down.
Okay, great.
Just to note that A rightly says the GNSO or the issues report requester, and I don't think we need GNSO there. Just issues report requester is sufficient. But B only lists the GNSO council.
Request that the ICANN, so B is request that the ICANN staff provide the GNSO Council with an estimate of time.
The GNSO Council may not be involved at this process, in this point. In both cases, it should be the issues report requester.
Yeah, I think that does make sense. Although, Marika, you have a comment?
This is Marika, because in the sentence where I mentioned the GNSO Council, because the issues report is formally submitted to the council. Not, I mean, it will be submitted as well to the requesting organization, but it's not, it's the GNSO Council that will consider the issues report and take a vote on it. So I think that's probably the reason why we put GNSO Council there. I don't know if it's a big issue to change it into requesting organization.
But in both cases, the GNSO Council is not involved until the issues report is, or rather, in the case of an other submitter, other requester, the GNSO Council only gets involved once it is ready. How long it takes is a matter of negotiation. I mean, just as in A, it's essentially a discussion negotiation between staff and the requester. In B, it is also. The only difference is that we're not putting a specific time in the rule.
Yeah, and it may be, instead of saying issues requester in option two, it may be two different sentences. One that's applicable when the council is a requester, and then adding a sentence later on when the requester is an advisory committee.
Why not just use just requester in both?
So if you did that, if you look at the language that's drafted, it says within 45 days after receipt of either an instruction from the board, a properly supported motion from the council, or a properly supported motion from an advisory committee, the staff manager will create a report. In the event the staff manager determines more time is necessary to create the issue report, the staff manager may request an extension of time for completion of the issue report, which must be acknowledged by the GNSO Council.
But that's wrong. The GNSO Council is not involved in that process at that point.
Yeah, I see what Alan is saying, Marika. If it's the advisory committee that goes directly to the staff that says we want an issues report sent to the council, it's really the staff and the advisory committee that would talk about how long it would take, and then the GNSO Council receives it. What the council does with it is the business of the council, or it's governed by other things. So I do see Alan's point. Is Margie on the call, too? I see her on Adobe.
I think Margie's trying to dial in, but she's having issues as well with the new numbers. One point, because I do believe that, what's happened in the past is even if an advisory committee has made the request, it goes through the GNSO Council. There's no vote or nothing. They cannot block it. But I think it is formally acknowledged, and then, staff starts at work. Because we haven't really discussed it, but I'm realizing now how this would fit in, for example, with prioritization and council workload. Because in this way, of course, ACs could put additional work on staff, which might not fit with the workload staff has based on the council work. So I'm wondering there, indeed, if that should be a kind of joint negotiation, because in this case, for example, the staff says, well, we really need more time because there's so many other things we're doing, and the AC says, well, we don't care, we want this done. Then the GNSO Council has no way of saying, well, look, there are more things we're dealing with than just this issues report. So I don't know if it should.
So I think
this has only happened two times in the history of ICANN.
So, and we'll put that aside for a sec, because let's assume it'll happen more. I think the GSO has discretion, at least when it comes from an advisory committee, after it receives the issues report, to prioritize it and to figure out whether it wants to issue a PDP on it.
Correct.
So I think there is room to handle that, Marika, and I do kind of agree with Alan in the sense that that will really be a negotiation with the advisory committee, and I'm sure the advisory committee will be reasonable if there is a bunch of things that staff is working on. But I think that the bylaws, it's almost like the bylaws provide for this check and balance to make sure that there are other inputs into the GNSO policy process other than stuff that emanates just from the GNSO. And it's almost like you kind of have to deal with it.
Remember, it's also the board that can be requesting this.
Right. So I do think what we should do is and put it out for comment to the rest of the group, but I do think that Alan has a point that it should say must be acknowledged by the requester, and you know, let's keep the GNSO Council involved in the sense that they should have notice of what's going on, so they shouldn't be surprised that an issues report is coming down. I do think that when a request is made by an advisory committee for an issues report, certainly a courtesy message should be sent to the council that this is going on, and they need to kind of fit that into their prioritization exercise.
I mean, the whole rationale for this, if I understand, is this allows an advisory committee to initiate some action that the GNSO has chosen not to. So to say that they can even block it at the issues report level, you know, defeats the purpose, I think.
I think that's right. I think that was going to be another point I wanted to make, is that we wouldn't want to provide another block for... It has to get into the process. There already are enough blocks if the council does not choose to address it, you know, or vote a PDP, vote for a PDP. There already is that mechanism, that check and balance. But I think at this entry stage, I don't think there should be another impediment to stopping it. So does anybody disagree with that notion or have any other comments? Marika?
This is Marika. Sorry, I put myself on mute instead of off mute. And just to note, because in the issue B, it's you know, I'm happy to change that to requester, but just to point out what it's actually talking about there is staff requesting an extension. So it's not a negotiation of how much time should be spent on it. As I think you suggested in your comment, this would just be if staff needs more time than the 45 days that... option two proposes. Just to clarify, but you know
I suppose the requester, be it the board, the GNSO or AC, could be belligerent and say deliver or else, but ultimately it is going to get done or it won't get done, and the external body doesn't have a lot of real control over that. So whether it's a negotiation or an informing, you know, I don't know if the words really matter there a lot.
So if we change the words in option two to be the requester, we still are faced with the decision of which option are we going to choose? And... are we ready to do that? Do we have enough information to say, okay, I like option one versus I like option two? And if we're not ready at this point, that's fine. We can put that decision off until, but we should make a recommendation in the report. So are people ready on this call to choose between option one, which is within 15 days of receipt of an instruction from the board, a motion from the council, or a request from an advisory committee, the staff manager should provide council with an estimate of time for completion, and then generally it shouldn't take longer than 45 days for considerations that may lead to the complexity and workload, so a recognition in there, or to make it a little more harsh, sorry, not harsh, but... more direct, saying it must be in within 45 days, unless. But in the event that the staff manager determines more time is necessary, they have to request an extension from the party that submitted the request.
Okay, but option one is, yeah, it is 45 days from the request, which is 30 days after the 15-day limit, right?
That's the way it reads now, yes.
So really the difference is, in one case, there is an expectation that if you don't come back, it will be done within 45 days. In the second case, there's an automatic reporting on what it's going to be, on what it's going to take. And
the second one,
the only difference is it's 45 days unless there is a comment from staff, and in the first option the comment is mandatory essentially, and the second one it only come if more than 45 days is needed.
I actually see it a little bit differently. I see option one as being within 15 days ICANN staff needs to come needs to come back and say this is how long it's going to take us.
Okay.
And it's a general guideline. It should take 45 days. It's very general. But they can come back and say it's going to take 70 days, and there's no formal action taken at that point. There's no acknowledgement. It's just a given. So, in other words, if within 15 days staff comes back and says, you know what, this is complex, it's going to take us another 90 days, that's what it is. There's no room for the council to do a motion, or there's no room for the advisory committee to say, no, we want it in 45 days. It is what staff says it is. In the second option, staff has to come back and has to provide the report unless there's some formal action from the one that's requesting it. So the second one is much more formal.
Okay, so you're saying that the difference is the first one, staff must come back within 15 days and give the estimate, and whatever estimate they give is what it will be, with no option to discuss. And in the second one, there is nominally an ability to discuss it.
That's the way I read it. There's a general guideline in the first one that it should be done within 45 calendar days. Staff comes back and says, nope. Considering all these complexities, we say it's 90, and that's pretty much it. There's no formal process built in to kind of say from the council, no, you have to do it in 20, or whatever it is. In option two, the way I read it, within 45 days, they must supply the report unless they formally request an extension from the requester.
Okay.
Marika and Margie, do you read it differently?
The implication is acknowledged really means approved.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I read it, and I could be totally wrong.
Because you're using the word request, it's not really acknowledgement. You're saying really agreement.
Well, I mean, the requester could always refuse to acknowledge, and then what do you have? Marika, Margie, why don't one of you guys step in and see if we're way off?
My comment is related to the first part where staff provides an estimate. I don't think, at least from my perspective, I've never seen that where staff says, well, this is going to take 3 years and, take it. There's no leaving it. I saw the first option more as well where staff comes back saying, well, we think this will take X amount of time, and where there would be room for the council to say, well, we think this is very long. Can you do it quicker? And we can say, well, we can do it quicker, but it means that maybe that initiative needs to, stop or slow down, because we kind of, I didn't see that as a staff will say what it is and there's no room for maneuver. So if that is what comes out of option one, maybe we need to clarify that, because I don't think at least that was the intention, at least not from my perspective.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. And Margie?
I just wanted to clarify on a different issue. So it looks like we're changing the acknowledged by the GNSO Council to acknowledge the request. It's possible that the requester won't be able to acknowledge it, at least in a timely manner, given how often the requesters might meet. I just think that might be a difficult thing to manage. It's easier when it's the acknowledgement is obviously the council.
Well, I understand that, Margie, but I think what the practical effect of option two will be, you will all have to know pretty quickly. It's not like option two, we'd expect ICANN staff to wait 45 days and then say, oh, we need an extension. My guess or hope would be that staff would know within the first week to 2 weeks that 45 days is not realistic, and then put in the extension, which I would think would provide 30 days or so to get that acknowledgement. I think that would be enough time for any of the groups to give that acknowledgement.
And if I may reply, I'm thinking of the GAC, for example. The GAC only meets at their meetings, at the ICANN meetings. And so this might happen in between an ICANN meeting, at which point there would be no acknowledgement. So that's why I'm concerned about that change.
So I think that's a good point. I'm not sure how to address that at this point because I think we're mostly assuming the SSAC or the ALAC. But I do think that there should be some sort of – I don't think that the GNSO Council – and I think you might have missed this before you got on – the GNSO Council should not really be an impediment to a issues report that comes from an advisory committee. So it didn't really make sense to basically say that the GAC requests an issues report, but the council could say, you know what, we want to give staff 180 days to do it because we really don't want to deal with it now. I think that would be a bad outcome for the council to have that kind of control at the outset, even before an issues report is drafted. So I do think an acknowledgement from the requester makes sense, and we do have to kind of think about how that would be dealt with the GAC and maybe asking them about it, but making the assumption that the GNSO Council can override a request from an advisory committee doesn't seem like an optimal option from our perspective. I don't think it would be an optimal option. If anyone disagrees, let me know. Let me go to Alan and then Alex.
Okay, I got cut off for a while, so I'm not quite sure where the conversation is right now. It seems to have reverted back to whether the GNSO is in the loop or not at the beginning.
Let me take a minute to clarify. So
okay.
Margie missed the beginning when we talked about that, but Margie brought up a very good point that getting acknowledgement from the GAC is not an easy thing if they were the ones that requested the issues report and probably would take longer than 45 days because they don't meet very often. My comment was I think that that's a very real issue, and then I went into the rationale of why we decided to change that to requester as opposed to the council. So that's where we are.
A couple of things. The tone of where some of this has been going, I don't like that you know staff can come back and say it's going to take that or we're in a position where the advisory council stonewalls and refuses to answer or refuses to acknowledge or refuses to discuss in good faith. I really think that this should be worded such that the amount of time it will take is, I'm not trying to put wording here, I'm trying to give the intent, is essentially discussed and agreed to between the requesting body and staff. And whether that's done prior to the issues report being initiated or halfway through the process, I don't think really matters. So I would like to see that we say 45 days is the norm, if 45 days is what we want to use, but this can be altered on the mutual agreement of the requester and on staff. And it shouldn't be a confrontational issue at this point. Any AC or the board or the GNSO have their own staff people who can intervene. It's not as if you're tossing things over the wall back and forth. And I don't see why we need to make it something that's effectively a dispute or a confrontational issue.
Okay. Let me go to Alex and then back to Margie.
Okay, Alex speaking. I want to pick on maybe your last comment, Jeff, and maybe try to recollect our discussion on what we were trying to fix when we came up with some of these recommendations, so that, again, it's not seen as confrontational as if we are changing things for no reason at all. And it will probably help us inform and justify the proposals we are putting forth. The reason I think what we were trying to fix was that very situation you mentioned, an issue could be there with the council and no resolution and stays there and it doesn't move at all. So that's the problem we were trying to address. And so that we were trying to create, if I remember correctly, a mechanism that ensures that no issue can go there and get stalled and nobody knows where it's heading. I don't know whether that's what we discussed. Maybe I would want maybe other people to contribute on that and maybe comment. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Margie?
Yeah, I guess I apologize because I did walk into the conversation late. Your issue seems to be that both the GNSO Council seems to be stalling and staff seems to be stalling, and I just don't see that either of those would happen if there was a request from another organization. I mean, at least from the staff perspective, I assume we would be, trying to make sure that we do what we need to do to get it done. So I think we're kind of focusing on something that's not likely to happen. But it's fine if you guys go with number two. I guess if number two is the option, it would just mean that no matter what, it would have to be in within 45 days if we're in that situation where we can't get acknowledgement. And then just the other point I wanted to raise is that that remember that we're talking about two different types of issue reports now, and this option doesn't address which one we're talking about. Are we talking about the preliminary issue report, or are we talking about the final issue report that follows a public comment period? Because then that 45-day period is going to be a lot more difficult, I guess, to reach if we aren't unable to get an acknowledgement.
Now I'm confused.
Remember we said, Alan, that the issues report should go out for public comment before it's presented to the council.
Yes, and it may well be refined after that. And so I think we're talking about the time period to issue the first one. I'm assuming that the revision period will take as long as it takes, which isn't necessarily a long time.
I haven't
even thought of setting time for how long staff takes to integrate the responses.
I think that was my assumption as well, Alan, that this was really the amount of time period it's presented to the council. Time period. All right, so let's think this through. As I'm talking, I'm thinking of a bunch of things.
We should put a time limit in from the closing of the comment period to the time the final issues report is issued, and that's probably something we should do, but that's a separate issue from what we're talking about now, I believe.
Right. So what I was thinking through was it's not the council that's going to say, okay, now this is ready for public comment. It's really this gets done by staff, goes out for public comment, it's revised, and then it gets back to the council to do whatever it's going to do with initiating a PDP or not. So I would say that this, we should make it clear that this is, within 45 days, it should be put out for public comment, I think is what we're saying, right?
Right.
That's what I would think, Jeff.
Now, we may want to set a time limit for the second pass, but that's a separate discussion, I think.
Yeah, and let's not confuse the two subjects at this point. So, Alan, from the way you're – so does anyone have a thought as to which of these two options, assuming it's – within whatever time period it is, it's going to be delivered for public comment, or it's going to be put out for public comment. So put that assumption. And also put in the assumption that the acknowledgement in option two is an acknowledgement from the requester, as opposed to just the GNSO Council. With those two assumptions, does anyone have a preference for option one or two?
Well, assuming acknowledgement really means agreement, so, okay, in option one, staff comes back and says it's going to take 4 years, and the requester has no choice but to accept that. Do I understand correctly?
Yeah, but let's be more realistic.
No, I know. I'm giving an outrageous one. The staff will come back with a time, and that's what it is.
Yeah, there's no real – I mean, that's what it is.
Okay. The reality is, regardless of what is said at that point, if the requester thinks it's totally outrageous, they are going to go into a discussion on how can we change the request to make it more reasonable or something like that. So I think the two merge to the same thing, and I'd like to keep the words in, such that it's a cooperative venture, not a confrontational one. So I guess I would prefer something like option two, but with somewhat different wording than acknowledged.
What would that wording be?
Well,
I mean, you could say that it generally takes 45 days. If it would take a longer time period, again, this is not the actual words, it would take a longer time period, then staff should enter into discussions with the requester to balance the needs for addressing the issue versus time it takes to get this done.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm not quite alert enough to come up with a coherent sentence right now, but yes. It probably can be done even simpler than that, but I think that should be the intent.
Okay, Margie?
And certainly that's what's happened in the last few that I've seen requested both by ALAC and by the GNSO.
Okay, Margie?
Yes, I agree with Alan. I mean, I think that some other language is fine. I just wouldn't want to use the word agreed. Because I don't know how, thinking back to the GAC, how are they going to agree on anything? but something, along the lines of what Alan suggested probably would work.
Does anyone have any thoughts on that? So if we went back, kind of changed a little bit of option two to be more of a discussion as opposed to some sort of formal agreement or acknowledgement, does it sound like people would lean towards option two?
I mean, even the GAC, the chair, has some level of discretion. So it's not clear it couldn't be agreed upon. But I think we can come up with some words which are wishy-washy enough to show the intent without locking people into a formal negotiation and formal signing agreements.
So why don't we then, and I know people aren't speaking up, but I always find that when you pick a proposed recommendation, people are more likely to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we, for the next, why don't we change around option two to reflect the discussions that would take place as opposed to acknowledgement or agreement by the requester, and then why don't we pick that as our proposed option or recommended option, put that out to the group, and, again, I think that's more likely to generate comment from people as opposed to saying, well, you could have option one or two. Which one do you want? And again, this is not a personal preference. I'm not expressing my personal preference. But I think because Alan's being very vocal on it and Alex has also weighed in, that why don't we put that as our recommended approach and put that into the report for now.
Okay.
So I'm trying to push this forward a little bit, and hopefully, again, if we put in a recommendation that people absolutely hate, I think they're more likely to comment on it.
Well, Maggie's pick option A.
True.
That makes more work for us to do.
Yeah. I'm hoping people don't hate it. Okay, so then the next question is on resources and prioritization, which is on bottom page 2 of the chart and top of page 3, relates to recommendation 15. And we, in our initial report, said we are considering the notion of having a fast track that would allow for a more timely PDP in cases where such urgent action is deemed to be necessary while at the same time ensuring broad participation and avoiding gaming. The PDP work team hopes to receive further input. And we got some further input. And we kind of said as a work team that we recognize the value of having, and the comments that we got recognized the value of having this fast track, but the comments were very broad and did not really suggest any kind of mechanisms or a concrete procedure. So staff has put together some options for us to consider. One of those options is that we recognize the needs and importance of this, but also acknowledge that there are challenges in developing it. And we request ICANN staff develop a proposal for an expedited PDP for community consideration that takes into account certain principles that we all talked about in this group. And there are four principles, and maybe we want to add something else. So the option two is, again, I'm paraphrasing because everyone can read, the GNSO Council may conduct a PDP on an expedited basis if it reasonably determines that immediate temporary establishment of a specification or policy on the issue is necessary to maintain the operational stability of registrar services, registry services, DNS, Internet, and the proposed specification or policy as is narrowly tailored as feasible to achieve those objectives. Now, I will say option two mirrors what's currently in the registry agreement. Help me out, Margie. Is there a defined term for registrar services? And is that in the registrar agreement, the accreditation agreement?
Not that I'm aware of. I'd have to take a quick look.
So if we went with option two, we would have to define what registrar services are, which I'm thinking is not going to be an easy task. And probably as a I'll take my chair hat off now, put on my contracted parties hat. I think option two is very I'm not sure contracted parties will be happy with option two. They're okay with giving that discretion to the board. I would think that contracted parties would have a big issue with giving that kind of discretion to the council, because seemingly that would be a way for the council to decide something by consensus on a temporary basis, and the board, if they were to approve that, would basically get around the whole thing in the contract of temporary specs and all the restrictions implicit. Because if it gets through the council, the board would call it a full consensus policy, and therefore it would no longer be considered a temporary one under the contracts that the registries and registrars have. And I'm sorry if that might seem a little convoluted, but it does have legal ramifications and would give the board an avenue to say, you know what, we really want something done. If we do it through temporary, there's all these restrictions we have on it. So we're going to make the staff do an issues report. We're going to make the GNSO do it on an expedited basis. And we're going to get around, and then once it's done, we're going to call it a full consensus policy, and we've now gotten around all the limitations that are in our contracts for temporary specs or for temporary policies. So that's not my chair hat. That's my contracted parties hat. Let me go to Alan, then to James, and then Marika.
Okay. I think I agree, although I'm not as worried about the legal issues, but the concept, right now the board has the ability to make a decision immediately if they think something's urgent. They certainly could go to the GNSO and say, strike a work team to advise us exactly what to do, and report back within a month, as the board likes to do, so that we can take some immediate action. That process is already there, or could be already there, to say council can, with an expedited PDP, can take that temporary action implies they will then have to follow it up with a long-term PDP to take permanent action. And that sounds an awful lot like a make-work activity, which won't be fast enough to do things quickly, but will increase the amount of work regardless of how you do this. So I really don't like that one. I'll confuse the issue a little bit by reminding the group that the board has now added a whole new issue that is subject to consensus policy, and that's vertical integration issues, which can include all sorts of hairy things, including contractual terms. And in fact, that, you know, if we suddenly find harm being done because of vertical integration, that one may well be an urgent one. Although how one comes to consensus on it is not 100% clear. on the remedy. But it has complicated our PDPs by a fair amount.
Okay.
Kind of PDP into the process.
Right. I think we're going to put that aside for now, but I think that's a good point. Let me go to James, and then I'll go to Marika and Margie.
Hi, Jeff. James speaking. Thanks. And I just wanted to weigh in here because I think it's the most appropriate place, but I don't presume that what I'm about to say is going to make any sense. Because I'm not sure it fits with option one or option two, but I think the idea of let me just state I'm against the idea of creating a whole new flavor of PDP, be it expedited, temporary, whatever we want to call it, for a lot of the same reasons that you are, but also because I believe we're not solving the root problem, which is that PDPs are unwieldy in urgent situations where they need something to happen quickly. And so I think creating a second variant of a PDP is concerning to me. Now, having said that, I have, in the context of some of the other PDPs that I'm working on, I'm kind of fleshing out this idea of a real-time PDP or something that happens very, very quickly, you know, where you could turn around from charter to initial comment in something like 30 days. And I think that, you know, if we can continue to examine or explore or recommend that, the GNSO explore ways to shorten the time frames while still maintaining, you know, the principles of participation and public feedback and take a look at those things that are introducing delays in the process and look at ways of abbreviating those, you know, I think we can get what we want out of a fast-track process without, creating a black swan.
Yeah, so I think if we look, and I think that those are good issues, I think if we look at option one, it will at least give staff an opportunity to go back, think about this based on the principles that we come up with, and then put something out for comment so that we can kind of see, James, if this addresses all of your concerns. It'll be a report from them. We're pushing off the issue to see if there's really a way that staff could propose this that keeps in all of the protections of the regular PDP, which is kind of why, you know, as the chair, it seems like option one makes the most sense because there are or could be a lot of hidden issues that I don't think will come out until staff really does this kind of proposal.
Just to follow up real quickly.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know, the basic thrust of my point is that there is a lot of activities going on in a lot of the PDPs I'm involved in that if you were more deadline-driven, I think all of the members of a PDP could probably cut, I hate to say 80-20, but you could probably cut 80% of the time out of a PDP to move that along a little bit faster. And, I don't know if that translates into an average length of a PDP being, you know, something like 18 months and then compressing that down to a 3 to 6 month type time frame. And I think that that's probably as fast as you could go while still maintaining all of the necessary and prescribed milestones without inventing a whole new process. Did I get disconnected? Did Jeff?
No, I hit mute. Sorry.
Oh.
I was talking into obviously nobody could hear me. So I think those are some good points. I think though that the time frames that are in the manual or the bylaws, however we decide to put them in, would still set long deadlines that may not be quick enough for some to get some sort of emergency or policy in place. I think we may, in the end, come out with the same conclusion that you have, But option one really would only be, let's have staff go back, create a proposal, put it out for public comment, and see if any of those concerns that you may have are alleviated. Whereas option two is much more prescriptive, say, yes, we are having it, and it's very vague as to what the criteria would be. And it did seem like there was a consensus, at least within this group, certainly a strong opinion of the group that they see some value of a shorter PDP, but nobody really knew or could think past the abstract of there may be some issues that we need to decide quicker than others. It is possible, though, that you're right, that if people stick to deadlines, then you know, then it would be fairly short. I think the reality is that I'm not sure people do stick to deadlines, and maybe ultimately that's the recommendation, but I think putting staff in to give a proposal may help clarify those issues.
We're going to turn this over to staff then, or?
Well, no. We're just turning it over to staff to develop a proposal, put it out for comment.
Okay.
And let me just stress also that that may mean that it's not this group that considers the fast track PDP, or it may be a separate group, but that may be fine too, right? It may be a different work team or a different working group that considers that. Let me jump to Marika and Margie. They've been waiting very patiently, and then I'll go back to Alan. Marika?
Yeah, so basically on the first point on staff developing a proposal, indeed the idea would be once this report is finalized that one of the recommendations is that staff, you know, takes it further, you know, takes the input that the group has made or the principles they have outlined, and you develop a proposal, think about it, maybe have some more community discussions and come back and then go through, you know, the formal process of either, you know, another work team or having the PPSC, if it's still alive at that stage, or a standing committee or whatever is in place to look at it. But I just wanted to clarify that on the second item or the option two that is proposed there, I think the idea behind there was that, you know, we've listened to the work team where I think most identified that an expedited PDP would only work if there would be consensus or, you know, general support for a certain approach and to move fast on an item that is seen as an emergency or urgency situation. So what option two does is basically says, look, the council at that stage can identify how that process should look, and depending on the issue that it is, that's at stake, it can define, you know, either by supermajority or unanimously how such a process would look, taking into account that it would mean that everyone needs to be on the same page and needs to be in agreement as to what the process is and what is being addressed, and as well the outcomes of that process. So built in kind of safeguards to make sure that indeed, you know, contracted parties cannot be caught off guard or cannot be used as a loophole to, you know, impose consensus policies, you know, to go beyond the normal PDP process. This will be a way, you know, only to address those issues where there's really agreement that this is urgent, needs to be done quick, and everyone's on the same page as to how it should be done and how it needs to be addressed. So just to clarify that.
Okay, and then let me go to Marie, outside Margie.
Sure, this is Margie. I was going to say a lot of what Marika said, but just to give you background on this language, I did look back at the RAA, and the RAA does have this language, and registrar services is defined in the RAA as well as registry services. So what was envisioned in this section was merely taking that language that exists in the RAA and trying to, you know, morph it a little bit to fit the situation. I mean, that's kind of to help you understand the background of how we came up with this proposal.
Okay, thanks, Margie. Not sure why Aubrey's being so silent, so I will raise her point, at least from the chat. Aubrey's point is that she doesn't necessarily agree with the notion that there needs to be a mid track that, and there was a good comment where she says, I'm kind of abbreviating, if there was a fast track, why would anyone ever choose the slow track? Which I think it's a good point. So option one starts with the premise that The PDP work team recognizes the need and importance for an expedited procedure. I think what Avri's saying, and if Avri wants to please weigh in, I think what Avri's saying is that the work team does not necessarily recognize the need for it, that they've gotten comments. Some people may feel like there's a need for it, but it's not yet a settled question. Okay, Avri's raised her hand, so let me go to Avri.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, and now that I've been called on, there may be consensus, you know, I can't consensus in this group for an expedited process. I was just saying I was not part of that consensus. I don't agree. I don't see a need for an expedited. Either it's going to be easy enough to do that should always be done, or it's going to be impossible to do in that you're going to have to do a pre-PDP to make sure everybody already agrees with everything so you can do it. And then I really don't see the purpose of it either, because then you might as well just do a regular PDP and do it quickly. If nobody has any disagreement, a PDP is quick to do. It's not a slow thing to do. It's only the fact that people disagree and then make it difficult for people that disagree with them to come to agreement that ever makes one take a long time. And that may be something similar to what's already been said. So that's why I didn't think I needed to say it, but I'm certainly not part of a consensus that says we need an expedited. I think we need to figure out how to expedite all PDPs, and I think that's already been said. You know, but I don't think we need a new special process, and I don't think we need to ask staff on top of all the other tasks we keep giving them to do to go and create yet another PDP process. But if we really think we need a PDP process that's expedited, we should be the ones that are creating it, because we're the ones that are creating the PDP process. Thank you.
So then let me, so while there may have, I was going to wait for the beeps to stop. Okay, so I could, while on the call that we originally talked about this, we're putting in the, when discussing the comments, it seemed like there was a consensus, but now I'm hearing there's not, which is fine. So we can then, at this point, I want to go back to the comments that we received, and so I'm going to ask an action item for Marika and Margie to help me look through the comments again on this point as to whether how people in the community, what their comments were. I'm certainly willing to go back and say there's not consensus on this, and redo it here. This, nothing is final, so even though we may have talked about it during one meeting that it seemed like there was consensus, it wasn't final. So I'm seeing an agreement from James and Paul on whether there's a need. So why don't we take this to the email and look at the comments we got, revisit this issue, because if it is like Avri and James believe, then we can just get rid of each of these options or put some other wording in here saying, you know, we considered it, we got the comments, and here's our thoughts. So I don't want to presume consensus on this at this point. So, Alan, do you have a comment?
Yeah, just a quick one. I think I'm one of the ones, or maybe the one, who pushed this to begin with. And listening to what people are saying, I'm tending to agree that if an issue is urgent but very controversial, it's not clear that we can fast-path anything. And the board, if it's truly urgent, the board has the ability to act. One of the main motives I suggested this was the PDP process is already rather onerous and is likely to be more onerous as a result of what we're doing here. And for the slam dunk ones, the ones where there is general agreement, it's an onerous process to undertake to do something relatively small, and I'm afraid that we will not undertake it just because the process is so is so complex and requires so much resources, and we will end up not setting policy where we should, even if there's agreement. And I suspect we can fix a lot of this by saying for the things that are in the policy manual, and I'm not talking about what we end up putting in the bylaws, that if we give council the discretion to alter those rules with a supermajority, we may well, you know, they can eliminate certain steps or whatever, then we may achieve the purpose that we were trying to get to without having to work out all the details and propose a second PDP process.
Okay. So I think what I want to do on this is, Marika, let's keep this as an open issue. Let's gather the comments again that we received from the public on this, or through public comment, and let's put this on a future agenda item, maybe even in Cartagena. This is a complex topic and one that we just need to keep working through to figure out what the group wants to do. So Alan's got one viewpoint. It sounds like James and Avery are of a little bit different viewpoint, although they may be closer than we think. So let's just keep that as an open item. Anyone disagree with that?
Nope.
So if we then jump ahead to recommendation, so it's now jumping ahead to page 5 on this chart. The next issue is recommendation 29, which is talking about modifying the bylaws to change the duration of the public comment on the initial report from 20 to a minimum of 30 calendar days. The same minimum should apply for the public comment period on the initial report, while other public comment periods that a working group GNSO council opts to have as part of a PDP should have a minimum duration of 21 days. These minimum durations should be included in the ICANN bylaws, while further guidance on recommended duration, for example, taking into account overlap with ICANN meetings, should be included in the policy development procedure manual. Following public comments, the suggestion was made to change the absolute minimum to 21 days. It would seem reasonable, though, to allow a minimum of 30 days on the issues report and initial report, with 21 as a minimum for other public comment periods a working group may choose to initiate. Does that sound like a workable issue? So the suggested approach that we have, if we choose to do it, would be to require public comment period for a minimum of 30 days for the issues report and initial report, while a minimum of 21 days for other public comment periods that the working group may choose. Right, because we have the discretion for working groups to have public comment periods at any point in time. There's only two mandatory public comment periods, and the rest are just, you know, up to the working group.
In line with what I said just before, are these things that are going to be in the bylaws or the manual at this point?
So the proposal here would be that the bylaws would have the minimum for the initial and the issues report, and the manual would probably have the minimum for the other public comment periods, I would think. But Marika's got her hand raised, so I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, this is Marika. The draft as it currently stands has both the minimums in the bylaws, but then provides additional guidance in the rules of procedure, basically talking about that, you know, you might want to extend it when it cuts across an ICANN meeting. So basically it mentions in the bylaws that at a minimum every issue report, initial report, should be posted for public comment on the ICANN website for a minimum of 30 days. Working groups and council are encouraged to, but not required, to post any other interim or draft report or issue raised within the PDP for public comment. Any public comment period on items other than the issue report and the initial report shall be for a minimum of 21 days. And then there's a sentence, but if we might need to remove that because we have a sentence there as well that says these minimum periods might be maybe reduced as allowed by the council expedited procedures, provided that those are created or if we have something in place there.
So just to clarify what Marika's reading, the draft final report that they put together that you all have in your email from last week, beginning of last week, or maybe even the week before. So that's what she's reading from. Again, we can change any of that. Those are just suggestions. It sounds like looking at Paul's comments, Paul Diaz has said that he would like to see these in the bylaws. Let me just clarify. Paul, are you saying both the – there's two different comment periods we're talking about. One
– Jeff, I'll save you. I want to see it the way you laid out, that the issues report and initial report are bylaws and that the other thing can be in the guidebook. But the two required ones should be in the bylaws if we're going to change it to 30 days, I believe.
Okay. Does anyone disagree with that approach, or anyone agree? Does anyone think that the bylaws shouldn't have anything about timing? Is everyone still out there? How about let's try by show of a check mark, do people agree with the proposal that the 30-day comment period for the initial and issues reports should be in the bylaws, and the recommended 21-day minimum for other time periods be in the manual? I'm seeing lots of check marks, so great. That's fantastic. So let's do that. Alan's got his hand raised.
I was trying to raise a check mark.
Great.
My check mark presumes that since we haven't come up with any expedited procedures, when we do, that may change these also. But yes. So for the non-expedited one, I think it's fine.
I fell off the internet, so I don't have a check mark up. And I don't really care. I think it doesn't need to be in the bylaws, but I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm in the same position.
Okay, but so by saying I don't really care, you think
I'm acquiescing. I didn't put up a red X either, even though I'm not on the internet, so I can't. But
okay, thank you for clarifying. So it seems like there's some strong opinions in favor, and a couple we can live with it. So to me, that's a consensus on that point. And so, great. Let's move on. So we had a recommendation here for agreement of the council in Recommendation 41. The PDP work team has discussed whether the voting threshold might need to be reviewed, but has not arrived yet at a possible recommendation in relation to the issue and hopes to receive further input. I'm actually does this come up later, Marika, in the overall issues? Overarching? Yeah, I'm going to push this one off and skip to the next one because it's going to come up later.
Clarification, Jeff, if I remember correctly, the only voting threshold that we were talking about changing was an alternative one to one of the current ones.
I'll say an addition. Instead of alternative, I would say an additional one.
Okay. Maybe I'm misremembering. Okay, if it's going to come up again, let's just go on.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one is the recommendation 42, which is a board vote. Our recommendation was that the provisions in the bylaws remain unchanged with respect to the board vote, noting that a clarification is required to the current provision 13F to clarify what it means for the board to act. And in 13F, in any case in which the council – here's what it says. In any case in which the council is not able to reach GNSS supermajority vote, a majority vote of the board will be sufficient to act. In addition, an explanation needs to be added in the policy development procedure manual to clarify that all recommendations – even ones that don't recommend new or changes to consensus policy should be communicated to the board, which isn't clear by the current bylaws. The comments that we've gotten is that we did not get any comments that seek to clarify 13F. So we put together some clarification language anyway to see if this make sense to people, which is if the GNSO Council is recommending a consensus policy as defined within the ICANN contract, the board can only approve consensus policy that was approved by the required GNSO voting threshold. So the concept there is that, yeah, the board could act if there's only a majority, but the board's actions do not mean, for purposes of the ICANN contracts, that it's a consensus policy. That's the implication.
If that's the implication, it's not clear enough.
Okay. Margie, is that am I correct in the implication first before we talk about making it clear?
I think that's the implication. I guess the question is, can the board approve it and not have it be deemed a consensus policy? So, you know, maybe that's where it's kind of not so clear.
Well, and then the question is, if the board approves it, what does that really mean?
Well, the board can approve a lot of things that may or may not be consensus policies. And so, you know,
well, right.
It could be a practice. It could be something else, you know.
It could be a practice.
Right.
So the contracted parties could ignore it. Right?
Yeah, essentially what that's saying is that it wouldn't be deemed a consensus policy under the contracts.
Right, which essentially, yeah, which means that as a I'll take off my chair hat here. As a contracted party, I could just say, well, that's great that the board feels that way. My board feels otherwise, and there you go.
Right, or it might be something that the contracted parties want. So it could, you know, in spite of the fact it didn't pass in the appropriate threshold, they might just adopt it or agree to it.
That's the implication. Obviously, Alan doesn't feel that that's clear enough. Maybe we can work on some of the language, or maybe, Alan, you could think about it and make some suggestions.
Well,
Alex has got a question, and then I'll go to Alan.
Yeah, just let me say what was not clear. You say the appropriate, the required GNSO threshold. I'm not sure if you're talking about the supermajority threshold or the passing but not getting a supermajority threshold. There's two different thresholds that the GNSO can approve it with. And I wasn't sure which one you were talking about there, as it was the lack of clarity.
Well, I think the reason maybe the lack of clarity is that there's a lot of things that could come out of the council, and if it's not something that's for a consensus policy, a majority may be enough to send it to the board. So I see what you're saying. I'm getting a little tied up too. And that's why I think the language...
I'll continue when you come to me in the speaker order.
Okay. Alex?
Yes, Alex speaking. I'm wondering whether the word act was not meant to give the board an override somehow. And I'm trying to think about the VI as a recent example to see whether maybe that was not a word deliberately put there, so that when the consensus is not there, the board acts determining, which can also be used in different ways, like disbanding a certain work group which has been working, etc. I'm just wondering about the word act, which you are trying to redefine here. Maybe that was the initial reason why they had put it. Thanks.
Yeah, I think, but VI is a little bit different in that it's not a consensus policy. In other words, it's not binding on the existing registries, meaning that just because the board decided to do something with respect to new TLDs, nothing that the board decided with respect to new TLDs is binding in any way on the existing.
Okay.
Right, so the board can always act on these issues, but let's take it out of, you know, this context and put it into something like I don't know, take domain tasting, for example. if that had not resulted in a supermajority vote, the board could have approved it, but then the contracted parties could have said, yeah, that's great that the board approved it, but that's not a consensus, so we're not going to change what we're doing. And that was, I mean, not optimal. A lot of the community would have been upset, but that would be the practical effect. Right, that's why there's such a high threshold in the contracts. Margie?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that that Alan's suggestion of what we're talking about probably makes sense. So, you know, by the required, supermajority, GNSO supermajority, which is the defined term in the bylaws.
Okay, that's good. So, Alan, with that clarification, do you have a general comment on that provision?
Yeah, well, I'd like to go back to basics of how I interpret the current bylaws, which are clearly vague and not well worded. Right now, and I'm talking about things which are eligible for consensus policy, capital C. Right now, council can approve something with a supermajority, in which case it only takes a one-third of the board to approve it, because it takes two-thirds to defeat. So if council gives a supermajority, all it needs is a third of the board to agree, and it is a consensus policy. If I'm assuming someone will yell if I got it wrong. The way I read the word "the board can act." Now, if the board acts to reject it and not make it a consensus policy, they didn't have to do anything to do that. Just let the status quo lie, and nothing is done. So I read the words, assuming they had meaning when they were written, is if the GNSO only approves it by a majority, not a supermajority, then it takes a majority of the board, a larger threshold than in the previous case, to make it a consensus policy. Now, your board might not agree, but that is the way I had read the words. And I think we need to know what the intent is before we can unilaterally change them. You know, so I'd like to have an understanding from ICANN legal counsel what they think the current words mean. Then we can change it to something which is clear and have a different meaning, or we can say if the council only approves by a majority, then it takes a supermajority of the board to make it a consensus policy, or nothing the board does can make it a consensus policy. But I think we need to start off with understanding what does council think and the board think the current words mean, because it's not clear to me.
So I have, and I don't know, Margie, if council will answer that question. I certainly have no objection to asking them or seeing if we can get their input. I will tell you that regardless, and so I'll take my chair hat off, regardless of what the ICANN Council says, it's almost irrelevant to the contracted parties. In other words, I'll put on my new star hat, if ICANN Council comes back and says, you know what, Alan, that's exactly what we meant, then I, as new star, would say, I don't care what you meant because we meant something totally different, and your meaning doesn't override our meaning and can't force things into our contract. At best, we'd have to arbitrate. So let's get council opinion, because maybe it is the same as the contracted party's view. But let's also ask the contracted parties for their view. If they're the same, great. If they're different, we're back to square one.
Well, I agree with that. But the whole point is there's no point in us making it clear if later on down the road it's going to get rejected absolutely by one side or the other. Now, and it's a lot easier for the ICANN board to reject it than from each contracted party. But I think we should at least know what we're dealing with before we enter this quagmire.
So Alex agrees with that. Margie, you think we can forward that to the council?
Sure. Well, we'll certainly forward it. I don't know what kind of response we'll get, but we'll explain the issue and explain what we're trying to clarify and see if we can get some guidance.
Yeah, and I would do it in such a way that was very objective, just asked the question, what is meant by that, without kind of advocating either side, to see what their gut reaction is.
Okay.
Okay. So we're getting to the end of the hour, and I know James has already dropped off. So I think we will end it here. We have we've made some good progress. We only have a few more pages of this chart, and we'll pick up the chart and draft report in Dana. So Marika, you want to add the last comment?
Yeah, it is, Marika. I kind of just encourage everyone to review the draft report. You know, we're looking now at the issues that are really outstanding where we didn't reach agreement, but there are another items where we, you know, made an assumption based on a discussion. So I would really like everyone to review the report and indicate if there are any other areas where people feel that, you know, the recommendations aren't updated as the work's been discussed, or they don't reflect the discussions we've had based on the public common discussion, so that we can take that all to Cartagena and have a discussion there.
I agree with that. So let's bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, everybody. Bye, all.
Thanks, all.
Thanks.